Hello, everyone. I'm Becca, dietitian by trade, mom 24/7, wife from the start, and when there's a few extra hours in the day, you might find me hitting the trails or on horseback.
And I'm Kara, a therapist to women, a mom to a boy, an entrepreneur, mountain junkie, and a postpartum runner.
And this is Fit for a Queen, a podcast that's devoted to the female athlete wanting to balance the teeter-totter of all the things we desire out of life as women. Performance, health, intellect, and taking time for self, even if we only get 1 minute out of the day.
We're so excited to be bringing you the queens in the athletic world who have done just that. Okay, ladies, take a seat at your thrones, grab your crowns, and welcome to Fit for a Queen.
All right, so we'll jump in because we know the time is precious. So welcome to Fit for a Queen. We're really excited. We have Tina Muir here today, who really was one of the first groundbreakers as a professional runner to say it's not okay to go without your period, and that you realize that that was kind of in a way jeopardizing your health and especially fertility. So I'll give you a little bit more about Tina. She was Great Britain Olympic hopeful and was a professional runner and may at some time re-enter into that. Community manager for Runners Connect and podcast host for Run to the Top, and now has a phenomenal Running for Real community on Facebook and really great podcasts on iTunes that we will be sure to have in our link. She has this great motto that I really love, and it comes out in her messaging with her podcast and with her community, is be brave, be strong, and be you. So with that, I want to hear how those three strong statements made you decide to leave professional running and really focus on you.
Yeah, I mean, well, thank you so much for all the kind words. That really means a lot. And yeah, it was nice to hear. But yeah, I mean, I think it was something that for me had been in my mind for a while. But I think as you are like a teenager, a early 20s, you're still kind of figuring out who you are. You're still trying to be confident in your skin. And you're still very insecure about a lot of things. And I'm not saying that, you know, as you near 30 and as you near 40, you suddenly are this like confident machine and everything. But I just started to notice that I, you know, was realizing how much other people were really kind of doubting themselves all the time and constantly putting themselves down. And then I looked internally and thought, actually, I'm very negative too. You know, when I was in a race, I would, you know, be saying to myself, why are you slowing down? Come on, stop slowing down. Like, this is hard. You're just useless. Come on, get going. Hurry up. And we just are so critical of ourselves. And the more I kind of realized it, the more I was like, this shouldn't be right. You know, especially something like running, you're doing something good for your health and there should be some positivity about it. And sure, it's not going to be, oh, this is so fun, I love this. And when anyone says that to me, or, you know, I hear in an interview, people say, oh, running is just fun and I just love it all the time, I think, well, no, because you're just lying. But, you know, it should be part of the time and afterwards and things like that. So I just started to pay attention and try and be kinder to myself with running in particular, but just in the rest of my life and, you know, giving myself a bit of slack. Like, you know, if I had too big of a bowl of ice cream, rather than being like, oh, now you're going to get fat and now you're going to be ugly and no one's going to like you. Instead thinking like, no, you know what, like, I enjoyed that. It was really good and it was tasty and it made me happy. So I'm just going to stick with it. And so I started trying to just get a message out there where I could kind of show people that it's not what you look like, it's not what you do, but it's who you are that actually is what people care about. And the way I kind of told people to look at it is like, think about how you would talk to a sister or a best friend. You wouldn't be like, if they, you know, ate too much ice cream, you would be like, oh, you're just, you know, you just can't control yourself. You're just the worst. You would say, it's all right, don't worry. You know, you're doing fine. Just keep going and just try and make better decisions in the future. But you're fine. I still love you, kind of thing. I don't know if that answers the question.
No, perfectly. I really like that too. Like, how would you talk to your best friend? How would you feel if somebody was talking to your best friend the way you talk to yourself? You would be mortified, yeah, and probably, yeah, angry. So, you know, our fit philosophy is balancing performance, health, intellect, and time for self. And it really sounds like at some point you had that shift in what you wanted out of life, and those priorities started to tilt. Can you tell us a little bit more about what that was like to you when you finally said, I think I'm going to hang up my professional running, temporary maybe, and focus on me?
Yeah, I mean, well, just, you know, I guess I didn't really get to that in the previous question with being a professional runner. You know, it's something that I dedicate my whole life to. You know, I was really doing everything I could. I was putting so much in front of running in front of so many things. And now I kind of have realized that it's not even necessarily being a professional runner, but so many people do this in all kinds of sports, all kinds of areas. They might sacrifice going out to dinner. They might say, you know, I really need to get to bed on a Saturday night at 9 p.m. because I have something in the morning. So it wasn't just me, but, you know, I've realized that everyone kind of does that. And for me, it was, I just could tell it was getting to be more stress than it was stress relieving. And I was getting to a point where I was thinking, I don't want to do this, instead of I can't do this. So I was saying about the negative voices, but instead of being like, you know, this is hard, this is a struggle, I can't do this, I'm struggling to do this, it was, well, I don't want to do this. And that's just a complete like period kind of sentence. So I noticed that swing in my attitude and the way I was like thinking about things, and it made it difficult to kind of push through. Whereas usually, you know, when you are struggling, you kind of keep fighting and you're just trying to be strong, and you're doing it because you know you're going to feel good at the other end. But then I was getting to the point where I was like, you know what, this isn't worth it. And it's very hard to come back from that. So the more, and I kind of pushed it down for quite a while, and those thoughts would come up, and I'd, you know, voice them to my husband and say, you know, I'm feeling this again. And he'd say, you know, don't worry, you're just, you know, just, there's a lot going on right now. And I'd always been someone who put my family first, you know, above everything, above running, whatever. And when my sister had a baby, I could see the physical evidence of, you know, what else I could be doing in my life, what next stage I was getting ready for. And then being quite emotionally involved with her when she had a newborn, it was just kind of the perfect storm that gave me that like snapping point where I said, you know what, I can't do this anymore. And I just got to the point where I realized that, you know, I needed to make a change, and it was going to be a scary one, and it was going to take a big risk. But it was, I knew in my heart it was the right thing to do.
You got baby fever, huh? Mm-hmm. So Kara and I both kind of wear unique hats in the fact that we're within sport, but we also are within like eating disorder community. And they say if you want change to occur within that sport, more than likely it has to come from the athlete that's in there. Mm-hmm. You were so groundbreaking by voicing that amenorrhea or the loss of period is not normal. Could you give us some insight from being a professional runner, how that has become so normalized?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'd always said, the last 3 or 4 years that when I announced it, I was going to blast it. I was going to reach everyone I could because, you know, this had to be an issue. And I had friends who had been through it, but I had no idea so many people were going through it. And I had no idea. Now it blows my mind that it became, like you said, so normalized when there's so many people going through it and everyone's just kind of keeping quiet and, you know, scrolling through their Instagrams and feeling jealous of one another, not realizing that actually they're going through the same issue as that person is. And I don't know how it kind of got that way. Part of it, I think, is that we're in this world that's all about losing weight. And so you just, you know, you're, because of the obesity issue, you're constantly hearing, you need to lose weight, you need to lose weight. And then, you know, people like myself, I guess, or other elite runners, you know, recreational runners or people who want to be fit and healthy, they say, well, this is what you need to look like. And they'll show a picture in a magazine or, you know, a professional runner when they're at their peak on race day and say, well, that's what you need to look like. This is health. And so I think it just kind of made it so that that became the ultimate striving point. And then as other people, you know, in the more kind of, normal life, started to try and attain to have that body, that then became the norm for everyone and that was attainable for everyone. And you see all these, you know, fitness DVDs that say you can look just like this. And so everyone kind of is trying and trying when actually a lot of our bodies aren't capable of being at that weight and shouldn't be at that weight. But we see it constantly and we see all the praise that other people get for losing weight, that it just kind of keeps reinforcing it. So I think then people, you know, just kind of almost initially saw losing periods as a kind of not a rite of passage, but like I must be doing something right if you know, I'm getting that lean that happens. So I think that's slowly changing now, that people are realizing actually that isn't healthy. But I think it was kind of almost a reward that you were doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, congratulations on your pregnancy. That's super exciting.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit how you built this 5-star baby hotel.
That's you.
We love that.
That really is of everything in that book, No Period Now War, which was like my Bible. That quote, I was just like, that is so perfect. It's mm-hmm. such a good way of spinning your perspective around to what you're actually doing. Mine's a bit different, I think, to most people, because I think most people they don't reach that like snapping point, as I mentioned, where they can just say, you know what, I'm done. I think most people, it's kind of a bit of a, you know, they're kind of feeling it, but not quite enough to where they can pull away. But I reached that point and I decided that every run I did was going to make it harder for my period to come back. So I knew that if I did it all in one go, I stopped running, I stopped exercising, I gained weight, I relaxed, I got acupuncture, I did all these other things at the same time, I would be surely giving my body everything it asked for, all the possible things that could be causing it. And then it could decide which of those it was. I didn't care as long as I got the end result. Mm-hmm. And I probably could have done it where, you know, I took the running out first, see if that worked. I gained weight first, see if that worked. But I just wanted to do it. I'm kind of an all or nothing. Like if I'm going to go for something, I'm going to do it. So I saw myself as like, if I'm going to be a reproductive machine, I'm going to be the best damn reproductive machine there is. So that's the way I did it. And I did it all cold turkey. And for me, that worked. And it was almost refreshing, especially on a quest to like, get the ultimate feminine cycle working again. I kind of enjoyed straightening my hair and wearing a dress and going out and actually feeling like a woman. And so I kind of tried to make the most of, you know, more feminine things to be doing and painting mm-hmm. my nails and not worrying about them chipping when I tie my shoelaces. So I just tried to, switch to things that I hadn't been able to do in such a long time. And that was able to help me. And that book, No Period Now What, was such a lifesaver as well. So that was helpful.
Great. Well, we liked at the end of the interviews to get your perspective on how you live out the fit philosophy every day. So what do you do to still feel like you're engaged with performing? What do you do to maintain your health, intellect, and continuing that time for self?
Yeah, for me, it was funny. When I stopped running for a while, a few weeks, I had that fear of, you know, I'm going to go from fit runner to obese, barely able to get down the stairs. And I think that's what a lot of women who are in my situation have, this fear that you're going to eat more and then you can't stop eating. And then suddenly you just wake up one day and you can't get out of bed. And, you know, I had that fear, but I talked to a few friends about it and they said, you know, you're naturally, if you're that person who is committed to a sport or committed to, you know, running or any kind of event, you're going to be someone who's never going to allow yourself to get to that point. You're going to, you know, go for a walk. You're going to find ways to just be healthy and active. So I kind of, once I thought about it, I realized that that was never going to be the case for me. And I've always found health and wellness, even in the points of my life that I have been kind of when I was, you know, late teenage years, kind of partying a bit too much, still managed to keep the health in there. But I really tried to, I kept the strength training. I did take a month off it, but then I got back into the strength training. I think that's so, so important for just daily life. And even like thinking about being a mother, you know, that's going to help me with the upper body strength to hold them up. And
those infant seats are heavy.
Exactly. And there's so many things that, you know, strength training is just helpful for, and it's good for your bones. It's good for so many things. So I did that, and I tried to find other ways of, you know, enjoying myself through exercise. So I did like a trampolining class, because that's something I'd always wanted to do. And then just eating. I mean, I did allow myself to go a bit off the rails for a while, but then I started trying to, you know, get back to health. And I noticed that those foods weren't making me feel very good. So I try and eat well. And so, yeah, it's just kind of trying to be like a quote unquote normal healthy person, rather than just being this controlling, like, as an elite runner, you have to make everything as perfect as you can, but kind of accepting that relaxing and taking it a bit slower can also be healthy, as long as you still get some kind of physical activity in.
Great. Well, Karen, I sure wish you the best at your pregnancy. Yeah. I think
thank you.
Nothing makes you feel more like a queen than when you're holding that baby for the first time in your arm. So
I've heard you feel like a temple, right?
Yes.
Exactly.
So we can't wait to hear about it in the blog, and we'll be sure to put all your information on our show notes. So again, thank you for joining us today at Fit for a Queen, and we look forward to following you.
Thank you so much. It's been fun, and I've really enjoyed it and appreciate it.
You're welcome. Have a good day, Tina.
Thanks.
Thank you to our sponsor today, Sentimano Counseling. Sentimano Counseling is the premier perinatal mental health practice in Kansas City, treating mood disorders during pregnancy and postpartum, perinatal loss, infertility, eating, and exercise disorders. Go to sentimano.com for further information about the practice and services. For additional information on today's topic and guests, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Fit for a Queen.
And hashtag Fit for a Queen.
And don't forget to rate us on iTunes. We can't wait for you to join us next time on Fit for a Queen.
Bye, Queens.